How do you do? There comes a time in every life when we must stand alone in no man's land, a place between warring forces, good and evil, right and wrong, with no clear line of demarcation. The man in this story stood there more than once, struggling for direction in his life. The struggle was no easier, but the direction was clear, once his heart and mind and life were unshackled. Bringing true life stories that dramatize the good news, this is Unshackled, produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. It isn't enough to give a homeless man or woman a handout. It isn't even enough to offer a place to sleep for the night, a meal, and a change of clothes. These things help. So Pacific Garden Mission provides them, as well as other things like medical and dental care if needed, job counseling and parenting classes, all free to those in need. The old lighthouse has been there for street people since 1877, a refuge in the heart of Chicago, shining light into the darkness of the human heart, the truth that sets them free. One by one, each soul who receives new life discovers that is enough to change everything. And now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2503 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
They're blowing up the ports!
Can't let the Chinese get their hands on all that gear.
Just so they don't get their hands on us.
Yeah. Boy, now I know how the Israelites felt with Pharaoh hot on their trail.
We're lucky they had enough ships for everybody, you know that?
I had my doubts when I saw how many we had to evacuate, but everybody's on board.
Well, they even made room for a bunch of North Korean families.
Look, they're using anything that floats, though. Look, even that old fishing boat next to us is jammed with civilians.
Who cares, man? As long as we get out of here.
Yeah, the sooner the better.
Millions of commies are pouring over the border. We'll be surrounded pretty soon. What's the holdup?
The poor guys at the border. Overrun like that.
I sure don't want to be a prisoner of war. Not after the things we saw.
Exactly. I wish we'd hurry up and shove off. They're not that far away.
Hard to believe, isn't it?
What?
Retreating like this.
I mean, there's nothing else to do. We're outnumbered 10-1.
The Korean War, 1950. And those who fought there had to face bitter cold and overwhelming odds when the Chinese communists invaded North Korea. The man in this story was just 18 years old when he served there and learned some lessons about limited and unlimited warfare. And that would affect the rest of his life. This is the true story of Earl Johnson right now on Unshackled.
Some would have said our family was dysfunctional, although that word wasn't used in the 30s and 40s. I thought we were normal. When I was still a child, we moved from Ohio to a three-room flat in New Jersey with us five kids sharing one bedroom. Dad would come home drunk and abuse mother, and there was nothing we could do to stop him. I thought that was normal, too. And Dad hated anything to do with religion, and whereas mother had other ideas.
Awful quiet around here. Where's the boys?
It's Sunday, Earl. They're across the street.
That do-gooder mission?
Well, it's the closest thing to a church there is around here.
Waste of time.
They need religious training.
About as much as I need another elbow.
Earl, the boys like Miss Cook. She's teaching them about God and the Bible.
Ah, my uncle used to beat those lessons into me.
Well, he was no Christian. I don't care what he said. My mother taught us that God is love.
What kind of a God would allow so much pain and evil, huh? You tell me that.
I didn't know till years later that Dad was raised by a religious uncle who beat him till he bled. I just knew that my brother, Johnny, and I felt welcome at the mission across the street. Johnny and I were only 16 months apart in age, and we were inseparable. As we got older, we'd bike down to the park to watch cartoons on weekends, or wade in the pool, or tease the girls.
I think Natalie likes you.
Nah, we're just friends.
Oh, yeah? How come she's always hanging around? She even took a job at the ice cream parlor across the street from us.
She's just a good friend, Johnny. She tells me how to get along with the girls.
That comes naturally.
Maybe for you. You got the good looks. I get tongue-tied.
Oh, here she comes, Earl. I'm leaving.
Oh, wait, Johnny, wait.
Hi, Earl.
Hi, Natalie. Can't talk now. I gotta go catch my brother.
I left high school at 17 when jobs were scarce and life was dull. So I decided it was time to leave home. Dad, will you sign my enlistment papers?
Son, you don't know what you're asking.
Yes, I do, Dad. It'll be great. Steady pay and good training.
Well, they'll send you far away, Earl.
I want to travel, Mom.
Well, can't you find a good job here?
You know I can't. Guys coming back from the war took all the jobs. There's nothing for me to do that pays anything.
Joining the army isn't something you try, son. Once you sign up, you're stuck till they let you go. You have to do whatever they say. That's going to get old real fast.
Oh, please, Dad. I thought it over, and I want to go.
Yeah, here, give me that paper. But once I sign it, buddy, you're going to sit on a hot stove. Don't look for me to get you off.
Reality came with the first wake-up call and basic training. Yeah, all I wanted from that day on was an honorable discharge. After basic, I went to Fort Sam Houston, Texas, where I trained to be a surgical technician. And from there, I went to Washington State.
Mom, it's a letter from Earl.
Oh, what's he say?
He's been up on Mount Rainier learning to be a ski trooper.
A ski trooper? Yeah. Well, he's never been on skis before.
He says it was pandemonium. Man, I wish I could have seen that.
Well, first he trained to be a soldier, then a medic, and now a ski trooper. What next?
After 2 months on the mountain, we went back to Fort Lewis near Tacoma. My outfit was getting ready to go to Alaska when one evening I walked past a church. The people were outside milling around, and a little girl about 11 years old spoke to me.
Would you like to come inside and go to church with us, mister?
Mister, what will you give me if I go to church with you, huh?
This.
Ah, your Sunday school paper. All right, it's a deal.
Come on.
You know, I have a sister back in New Jersey about your age. My mother taught us to say yes, sir, and no, sir, and mister. I'm really proud of you for saying that to me.
Thank you, mister. Why don't you sit up here with us?
When the service started, I listened to the singing. I saw the joy and felt the love of those people. Then the pastor preached the gospel, and I, out of the loneliness and void in my heart, went forward and surrendered my life to the Lord. See, I didn't fully understand it all then, but that decision completely changed my life. That summer, North Korea invaded South Korea.
We had a letter from Earl today.
Yeah, what's going on with him?
Well, it's on the table. You can read it. He's made a lot of friends at his church there, and he volunteered to go to Korea.
Oh, what'd he do that for? He could get killed over there.
Well, he said the captain refused to let him go, so I guess he's going to Alaska with the rest of his unit.
Let me see what he has to say. Called to preach. What does he mean by that?
Read on. It means he thinks God has called him to be a preacher.
A preacher?
Uh-huh.
Oh, he's gone up the deep end, Ma. I've lost my brother.
I was sure God wanted me to go to Korea to save men's lives, but I didn't go with the first wave of troops. 2 weeks later, however, I was on a ship bound for South Korea instead of Alaska. When we arrived at Incheon, our company set up a surgery center at the POW camp for North Koreans. And then another soldier and I walked among them to find the worst cases, the ones needing immediate treatment.
Oh, man. I never dreamed it was like this.
Well, me neither. They're so quiet, for one thing.
Yeah, if I had those wounds, I'd be screaming my head off.
Well, how are we supposed to decide? There's stretchers everywhere.
I can't believe they're just lying out here in the open.
Yeah, if that's how they treat their own soldiers, think how they treat American POWs.
Hey, Earl.
Yeah?
Those two guys want us to go with them.
Well, what do you think they want?
I don't know. They can't understand us any better than we can understand them.
Right. Well, we might as well see what they want, I guess.
Man, I don't know. Do you think we should go in there?
I don't know. Careful.
Oh, oh man.
Inside lay a North Korean nurse in excruciating pain, both legs badly amputated above the knees. We took her to a surgeon. First of many such heroic efforts to save shattered lives as we moved from one end of South Korea to the other end of North Korea. Ours was a mobile army surgical hospital, commonly known as MASH, and we moved often, staying close to the front lines. Then came the Chinese and our retreat by ship to South Korea. I kept my family informed of many of the events that happened in my life.
Boy, am I glad he wasn't captured.
Johnny, read that part again about loving the enemy.
Okay, he says, as I care for the wounded, God is teaching me to love my enemies, to see as God sees the pain and the needs of mankind.
I don't see how he can do that when we're at war with those people.
Well, listen to this. He says, remember how the captain wouldn't let me go to Korea the first time I asked? Well, I ran into two guys who were part of the first group that came over here, and they were the only ones in our company who survived when the Chinese invaded.
Oh, well, you know, he might have been killed then if he had been with them.
Well, that's right. He says those two guys escaped by wearing Korean clothes and mingling with the refugees. And the rest of the company was killed.
He was very lucky.
He thinks the Lord spared him. And he's more sure than ever that he's supposed to be a preacher.
One day, the company commander called me into his tent, told me to sit down. Seeing his somber expression and the way he struggled to speak, I wondered what I'd done wrong. Finally, pulled out a letter and began to read. A letter that left me alone in no man's land. And there was no one to help me.
Wrestling with the contents of that letter, Earl Johnson would learn important lessons, which he'll tell us about in just a moment. Throughout the year, Pacific Garden Mission provides a home to street people in Chicago, offering shelter, food, and clean but used clothing to the homeless. At Christmas, we like to give presents that are new, so that each person feels loved and special. Now, we don't ask for donations, but this time of year is the exception when we invite our listeners to mail a gift. You have no idea how much your present will be appreciated, and you don't have to spend a lot of time and money shopping. Homeless men and women need and want everyday items, things like socks and underwear, shirts or slacks, toiletries or gloves. Homeless children can use clothing as well as books or toys. And don't worry about size. Whatever you send will fit someone. And please don't wrap your gift. That way we can match what you send with one of our guests. Don't have time to shop? Any donation will go toward buying an appropriate gift. We give everything in the name of our Lord so your present could open a hungry heart to the greatest gift of all, eternal life. Mail your donation or gift to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org.
My brother, Johnny, was dead, killed at the age of 17. The brother I loved so much, my best friend. I left the colonel's tent, went out under the stars and found a bombed-out place where I cried out to God. God, why did this have to happen? I don't understand it. I mean, he was my best buddy, Lord. I was living to go back and share so much with him. No one could share their feelings the way we did with each other. It hurts, Lord. It hurts. Why did it have to happen? Why? 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 A short time later, my tour of duty almost over. I was standing guard duty when a convoy of trucks rolled past. Inside, stacked up like wood, were the bodies of young men still wearing fatigues and boots. No body bags yet. No loved ones to mourn them. How I prayed and cried out to God. And how glad I was to leave the war behind and board a troop ship bound for Seattle. 13 days later, we stood on deck, watching the lights of Seattle when someone began to sing.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home.
The next day, it seemed as if all of Seattle turned out to welcome us as we poured off the ship. I even saw my friends from the church where I gave my life to Christ, holding up a sign with my name on it. I had 30 days leave, but I dreaded going home to New Jersey. When I arrived, I stood outside and would have turned away, except that my youngest brother saw me, led me inside to Mother.
Oh, Earl, thank God you're home again. Oh, I'm so glad to see you.
Me too, Mom. I don't think I'll ever be the same, though. Everything's changed.
Oh, I'm just glad you're safe.
Now, tell me, what happened to Johnny?
Oh, he robbed a store.
Why, Mom?
Well, I've asked myself that 100 times, but there's no answer. Anyway, he was caught and put in jail with hardened criminals.
He was only 17.
I know, but they wanted to make an example of him.
That wasn't right.
And the next day, he was found hanging with a belt around his neck.
Oh, dear Lord, what a terrible way to die. He didn't deserve that.
I know, son, I know.
Well, didn't they investigate it?
Yes, but nothing ever came of it. And it was very hard on your father. He had to go and identify him.
I'll never understand it, Mother. Never.
I miss him so much, Earl.
I wrote to him just before it happened. I told him all about salvation. I begged him to receive Christ as his Savior. But he didn't have a chance to answer.
Well, he always read your letters, son.
Only God knows if he took it to heart. I spent my last 6 months of duty at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, and then went back to New Jersey to live. I had become engaged to a girl that I dated for 5 years. My Christian life was causing problems between us, so I stopped going to church and reading the Bible. One Saturday night, I decided to go to a dance in the neighborhood without my fiancé.
Hi, Earl. I heard you were back.
Hello, Natalie. Wow, you look really good. I mean, you've changed a lot since I left.
Thanks, Earl. You're different, too. Are you still in the Army?
Yes.
I'm so sorry about your brother, John. What a terrible tragedy.
Sure isn't the same without him.
I remember all the advice I gave you about your girlfriends and how we used to go to the park, all of us. Life was simpler then, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, we can never go back.
Earl, what's wrong?
I turned and ran out of that place, away from the music that seemed deadening, away from the pointlessness of it all. I cried out to God and asked forgiveness for going to that dance. Shortly after that, my fiancé and I broke up, leaving me even more confused and unsure of my direction. I wanted to go back to Washington, where I'd been so happy, but that didn't work out either. Finally, I joined a local Bible study and discussed my problems with one of the pastors.
Was your fiancé saved?
No, Pastor. I tried to talk to her about salvation, but she took my Bible and waved it in front of me and told me I had to choose between that book and her. She didn't understand how important it was to me. I carried it all the time I was in Korea.
Earl, God doesn't want you to be yoked with unbelievers.
Yeah, I understand that now, but I don't understand why I couldn't get to the West Coast. You know, when I went to the airport, the agent said there was no such flight, even though I'd called and made reservations.
Why do you want to go to Washington State?
You see, that's where I was saved.
And I was happy there, growing in the Lord even. I had so many friends in the church, too. If I go back there, maybe I can recapture my desire to serve God.
No, your problem is not geographical, Earl. It's spiritual. You can love and serve the Lord wherever you are, wherever He puts you.
That night, I went home. I got on my knees and surrendered completely to God, asking His forgiveness for not reading His word, not going to church. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 promises that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Saturday evening came, and Natalie called, inviting me to church the next day. Afterward, we talked about how my reaction at the dance influenced her for Christ. She gave her life to Jesus shortly after that night at the dance. Talking together became our favorite pastime.
Earl, your faith in the Lord helped me to see my need for salvation. It's evident that the war also made a deep impression on you.
And I'm glad, Natalie. See, God really changed me, opened my eyes to a suffering world. I remember one time when a friend and I saw a young mother with a starving baby. We ran back to the camp and got some canned milk, but I mean, how could we feed it to the baby?
Yeah, I guess baby bottles would be hard to come by. Yeah,
exactly. So my friend took a Coke bottle and he used the thumb from a pair of surgical gloves to make a nipple for the bottle.
How did you hold it on?
With rubber bands. The baby nursed just fine.
You saved its life, Earl. That's very resourceful.
Yeah. You know, Natalie, the world is like that baby. Starving. Spiritually starving. And we have the bread of life. Jesus is the answer. If I just knew how to tell him.
Do you still want to be a preacher?
More than ever.
Then follow your heart, Earl. Don't ever lose what you have. I hope you go on to be the man God wants you to be.
Need I say, I fell in love with Natalie. The girl who had been my friend growing up, who counseled me in the art of dating, became my wife. I started Bible college after our second child was born, and there isn't time to tell you all the ways God sustained us through those difficult years until I graduated. But my father came to the graduation. My father, who hated religion. For several years, I served as pastor, but the joy of our life was sharing Christ with servicemen at a hospitality center we ran for years near the Aberdeen Proving Ground.
Pastor Johnson?
Yeah.
I'm on orders for Nam. What's going to happen to me if I get shot down and die in a rice paddy?
Look, Ernie, when you die in Christ, my friend, you are absent from the body and present with the Lord. That's a promise from God.
You mean I can be sure of that? I can be sure I'll go to heaven?
Absolutely. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." There are many scriptures that make that promise.
I don't know. I've lived a rough life, Pastor.
We're all sinners, Ernie. God says there is none righteous, no, not one. That's why he sent Jesus to die in our place.
Well, when I was younger, I gave my life to Christ, but I haven't lived for him in a long, long time.
That's a shame, Ernie. The price that was paid for your salvation was too high. You examine your actions against God's word to see if you're in the faith. And God is merciful. He's always ready to forgive. Now, Ernie, let me pray with you before you go, okay?
Okay, Pastor. Okay.
Natalie, there, look at this letter. Remember Ernie?
Yes, of course.
This letter's from his mother. He was killed in Vietnam.
Oh, no.
She found this letter addressed to me among his belongings. It came back to her.
Look at the mud stains. You can tell this envelope went through the war.
Read what he wrote in big letters.
I got my heart right with God, and I am living for him. Thanks for not giving up on me.
And not something.
Oh, Earl, he's with the Lord.
Every time I preach to those young men, I look out and see someone like my brother Johnny. And I always pray, Lord, help me. If just one of them gets saved and doesn't have to end up like my brother.
God is faithful, honey. We know that.
Oh, what an outreach we had there. 19 countries sent their people to train in Aberdeen during those years. Many foreign soldiers came to our center to eat the sweets that Natalie baked, and they heard about Christ. But that wasn't our only outreach. More than 20 years ago, we began a radio ministry that is still on the air. And I knew my father listened, so I often spoke directly to him.
Mom, the boy's on the radio. Come on in here.
Is it time?
Yeah, gotta hear my boy preach the gospel. Don't you be rattling pans in the kitchen either. I want absolute silence.
God doesn't care what you've done in the past. Christ died for you, and he was raised from the dead to give you eternal life. He wants to come into your heart and give you new life right now. Listen to this promise in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Is your life a desert? God will cause rivers of living water to spring up. Are you trapped in a wilderness? Jesus Christ has made a way out for you. He came to set you free. You, sir, listening to my voice, when are you going to surrender your life to Christ?
God lets us choose whether or not to walk with him, and I have been forever grateful that he chose me, an earthen vessel into which he poured countless blessings. I've learned that every crisis is an opportunity to share the hope we have in Christ. The Lord can take even a terrible tragedy and make it work together for good in your life. Take the gift of salvation and let him into your heart today.
For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Do you have assurance of salvation? God made it very simple for you to have eternal life. One sentence tells you how in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And verse 10 explains, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you need help in making this vital decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. Email can be sent to unshackled@pgm.org. If these true testimonies mean as much to you as they do to us, thank the manager of this station for making this broadcast possible. And ask your friends to listen next time. And we'd like to hear from you too, a card, a letter, even email to say thanks for Unshackled. This is program number 2503. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write soon. Your letter is more important than you realize. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. When the world turns away, we're still here. Call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462.